was good. Hello, everyone. I got an unlocked audio. There you go.
Sorry. I thought it was on. My bad.
I thought it was too. Now, hold on. Let me. This is the fun part of Rocket Punch. People get to watch us do things on the fly, which is always fun. Wait, no, I have to make that bigger so that people look at that. Look at that. Look, they'll never. You never know. welcome everybody to episode.
Oh, sorry. I gotta hold this the other way so everyone can see the Rocket Punch logo.
There you go. Excellent. Yeah. Let it shine in the light.
Yes. That's the glory of my monitors.
Welcome everyone to episode 11. I gotta read the notes here of the Rocket Punch Show. You got both of your hosts here, Cameron and Will. Joining you back. Woo, boy. I'm feeling rusty, Will.
Yeah. Yay, COVID-19. Said nobody ever.
if people are saying that in real life, we need to talk. I'm talking to those people directly. We need to have a conversation. Because now is not the time to do that.
No.
I'm looking at this image. I feel like you shaved your beard more since the last time I saw you.
So I shaved my head and I also trimmed the beard back because, funny thing, if you have a beard and you put on a mask, the beard actually inhibits the mask's ability to do its job.
Yes. Such is the fact that I had to trim all this up and I went back to the traditional goatee look because, since I go into my office a fair amount, I have to have a mask on a good chunk of the time. So
I've been lucky enough to be able to do 99.99% of what they need me to do via the internet and WebEx.
The internet, man. So it's such a wonderful thing. Like, we've talked offline and other different points. This is really interesting how COVID-19 is going to like mess with everything. Not only just from a gaming spectrum, but from a world spectrum. Like the change that's going to happen, that's happening now, and the change that's going to happen after this is all done, whenever that is.
I think businesses are going to realize that they can have more of their workforce work from home and pay for less of the stuff to be in-house.
Yeah. I think some businesses are going to come up with a curbside or takeout solution sooner if they haven't already done so.
I was going to say, funny enough, I got tired of cooking one day and I ordered Olive Garden curbside. Not bad. Olive Garden's doing curbside and it's not bad.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, they did a buy one, get one, so you can do one hot and then one cold with instructions to prep later.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know Olive Garden did that. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, so I did that, and, you know, funny enough, with everything going on, I got some chicken parmesan and fettuccine alfredo for later.
That's good. What was the last restaurant? Oh, well, Jim and Nick's Barbecue has a drive-thru. And they do curbside pickup, so.
There you go.
One night for dinner, I just got a bunch of brisket and ribs and just...
Oh no, whatever will you do with like 4 pounds of brisket?
Oh man, God, we didn't get 4 pounds. Jeez, thank God. We would have been in a freaking coma.
Would they have been rolling you around like that girl from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah. Hoopa, hoopa. yes.
Hey, Inubito, welcome.
Yes, Inubito. Nom 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 nom. It's very delicious. But no, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We're gonna brush the rust off here and kind of get rolling with the show here, guys. Because I know it's been a couple of weeks since we've actually had a new episode. But if you don't know, if you forgot somehow in the last 2 weeks, welcome to the Rocket Punch Show, your southern source for all things gaming, geek, and more. You can listen to the show every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice, or you can listen to the show live as we record the show right here on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us, have fun. We always love when people come and interact with us when we're talking shop. If you want to know more about Rocket Punch and all the content we make for you, head over to rocketpunchgo.com. That's your one-stop shop for all of the Rocket Punch stuff that we do. If you want to be a part of the Rocket Punch family and talk with us when we're not on mic, head over to our Discord channel. We'll have the link in the show notes for everybody tuning in. And if you want to help support the show, there are plenty of ways you can do that here. You can review us on your audio service of choice. You can follow and share our content on social media. We're at Rocket Punch Go on Twitter, at Rocket Punch Network on Facebook, and at Rocket Punch Go on Instagram. You can also, if you're watching via Twitch, you can become a sub on our Twitch channel, either through your free Twitch Prime sub from Amazon, and get some cool emotes in the process, as well as supporting us and helping us out. Or, if you want to go even further beyond, you can become a patron. Head over to patreon.com/rocketpunch and find out how you can help support the show and get cool, awesome, exclusive content you're not going to get anywhere else directly from us. Speaking of Patreon, as we like to do at the beginning of each show, we like to thank our Patreon producers. These are the people supporting us at our highest tier and helping to make this show happen. So thank you so much to Jossie M, Sam S, Jeremy M, Steven S, Tyler H, and Adam C. Thank you guys so much, as well as everybody else out there, for your continued support. Ooh, excuse me. Upcoming events and announcements. We've got some podcasts, that, especially if you are a Patreon member, that are going to be rolling out this week. I think I haven't had a chance to post it. I know I've got it on my set here. Console Wars Episode 3, which was a really good episode, especially from a lot of the content that got talked about last month. That's going to go out this week, especially considering some of the news that we're going to have this week. And then I think Will on his end has our Rocket Punch Cast bonus episode from one of the past months.
Yes, that will be going live tomorrow.
See, there you go. He's already got a leg up. So I don't, why am I here? I ask that every day.
It's okay. We'll be recording two more to release this month at some point in the next week or two.
So stay tuned for that. Again, if you want to know more about how you can get those episodes early or get them period, head over to patreon.com/rocketpunch to find out how. And also, Twitch schedule will be rolling out live on Twitch. We'll see. Hopefully, if I can get enough of the rust going out and everything goes smoothly, we'll stream a couple of games here. I know that some of the games we might talk about tonight, I want to definitely stream and give you guys a check out so you can see it. Because there's some pretty nifty games, in my opinion, there. Anything else I'm missing, Mr. Will.i.am?
Nah, man. I think we got it. Except I think Inabita has been watching some Camelot.
Can't what? Which Camelot? What?
Is a YouTube dude.
Oh, okay. Now I've got you. Now I'm following everybody. Now I got it. Cool. I'm hip with it.
Yeah, you know, he's one of them there YouTube people.
I'm hip with the lingo. And you know who else has been hip with the lingo this week? Let's roll right into news, because I know this is something that, Will, you've been excited about, I'm excited about, a lot of people have been excited about.
Discord's been excited about it too.
Yes, they have. Like this, I feel like this past week was the beginning of what we would consider like the summer announcements as we go to like E3 and whatnot, traditionally from years past. You guys will find out here. Number one, the next Assassin's Creed has been revealed. It is not Assassin's Creed Ragnarok as we have been hearing about through rumors. It is Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I don't know. Which one do you like better, Will? Valhalla or Ragnarok?
Valhalla is the Warriors' heaven, while Ragnarok is the end of time. So I'll take the Warriors' heaven at any time.
Yeah. Ragnarok would have been cool, though. Like, just as a name. But,
No. I like Valhalla. Let's stick with that. It rolls off the tongue better.
But we've got their GameInformer.com is where we're pulling this information from. As we always do, guys, all of our links are going to be in the show notes for you. This game has been pretty covered here. I'm pulling Game Informer stuff. They've got a lot of coverage. They have an interview with the Ubisoft talking about this game. But I pulled them off because they have a nice, lovely list, a quick-fire list of stuff that we need to know. I'm going to read through it here right now from GameInformer.com, Joe Juba. After yesterday's big reveal of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, we've had the chance to learn much more than the name and setting of the Assassin's Creed. Our interviewer and trailer all give us a better idea, blah, 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 blah. Fans will undoubtedly want to dissect every little detail. But if you just want some of the biggest and most interesting points, we've compiled this list of the 25 things we've learned about Valhalla so far. Number one, the character's name is pronounced Ivor.
Okay.
Number two, you can choose whether your Ivor is male or female. Three, customization options let you change Ivor's hair, clothing, war paint, and more. Four, the game takes place in Norway and England. Five, England has three major cities to visit: London, Winchester, and Jorvik.
Jorvik.
There you go. Now I got, feel like I was butchering.
Well, I'm just going based off of, you know, like Mjolnir, things like that.
Good call. Okay. Number six, you can dual wield almost any combination of weapons. I've actually heard some people say that you can even dual wield shields.
Oh, so you could be double Captain America.
Yes. That's what I've heard.
All right, so if you can dual wield shields, can you throw them like Cap, and can you shield bash? Because how awesome would it be to just charge in against somebody and just bash them with both shields? Especially if the shields have a spike coming off of them.
That would be cool. Oh, man. I want to see that in action now. Number seven, every piece of gear is unique. Eight, gear can be upgraded and customized, and you can use the same equipment from beginning to end if you want. Nine, you earn new abilities through a system mechanically similar to a skill tree. 10, what you can accomplish is more about gear and skills, not character levels. 11, words the teams have used to describe combat include brutal, crunchy, and weighty. Interesting. 12, the team is putting extra effort towards enemy variety to help keep encounters surprising. 13, you have a longship you use to go on raids. 14, your longship has a crew, including warriors you can customize. That's pretty cool. 15, assaults are big set piece moments. They are different from raids and involve attacks on large fortifications. 16,
okay,
you build a settlement that serves as your base. 17, your clan and others you recruit live in your settlement. 18, hidden ones in Order of the Ancients, aka Assassins and Templars, are in the game. 19, at some point, Ivor meets assassins, works alongside them, and uses a hidden blade. Which, if you didn't see, like, the trailer, it's the... none of this hidden stuff. He's a Viking. We're going straight Wolverine style, like, right in his face there. 20, King Alfred of Wessex, later known as Alfred the Great, is an antagonistic figure. 21, Layla's story is in the present day continues. 22, Ubisoft Montreal is leading development on Valhalla. The studio's last two Assassin's Creed games were Origins and Black Flag. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pedigree.
Yeah.
23, 12 other Ubisoft studios are supporting Valhalla's development along with external partner Spirisoft. Oh, Jesus.
That is a lot of man hours.
That's a lot. Especially in within 2 years, too. Valhalla is a cross-gen game coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X alongside current available platforms. And 25, it will be released during the 2020 holiday season. There's a bunch more that we haven't discussed. We may discuss here in the discussion. But if you want to find out more, check out their full interview and trailer breakdown over at GameInformer.com. Will, what is your hype level for this game?
Based off the last Assassin's Creed game, it is a day one purchase.
Day one purchase. Ooh, boy. Look, in people that listen long enough, that's rare for Will to say day one purchase. Pre-order, maybe?
I mean, if I get it, it'll be on the Uplay app on the PC, so it's just a pre-purchase. They don't do pre-orders. It's like, we take your money now, thank you.
Yes, and you'll get the game.
Yeah. I'm in. If anything like Odyssey is going on, yes.
Well, I'm actually
100%.
I'm looking at some. I actually didn't look at the.
The screenshots.
The screenshots. The bears.
Oh. Cool. Yeah. No, dude. It looks good.
The different armor sets and whatnot. Oh, he's got the friggin' Thor helmet in the shield with the hammer. Come on. I've not seen any of these screenshots.
You did yourself a disservice.
Man, these look really good. Okay, some of these I've seen. This, you know what's funny is, like, a lot of these screenshots remind me of The Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's funny that this game, I feel, has kind of been trending towards that style of game for a while now.
It's okay, actually. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
The only thing I want out of this game is I want to be able to, A, if I'm playing on my own, have dudes rolling with me that are AI that I choose and build up.
Okay.
B, I want to be able to have friends jump in as their own Viking so we can go on war parties together. Because who would not want to have like an Assassin's Creed or style Ghost Recon Wildlands experience as a bunch of Vikings?
That would be cool. That would be super
Where you're
cool.
just running around, causing muck, causing mayhem, just as Vikings, just pillaging England.
One of the things I've seen that's interesting, I'm curious what your thoughts are on it, like the mechanic that instead of with Odyssey, where you kind of start off and there's the fog of war on the map and you have to go in and explore all the different areas, where now it's you have a settlement and that is your home base and you go and do missions from there and kind of build up your home base. Liking it, not liking it, not sure yet.
I'm cool with it. It doesn't matter to me at all. I'm totally willing to just take a peek and see what happens.
I'm interested in it because I don't. They tried something like this in a previous version of the game, but I just can't remember which one it was.
Didn't Black Flag have something where you could upgrade your ship like that? Like it was a settlement almost?
Yes, that maybe that's it. They had like some stuff you could play on with there, like upgrading the people on there to make them tougher and the ship. I was like, yeah, you're right about that.
And Odyssey does have some of that as well.
Okay, well, just seeing that's just means I haven't gotten that far in the game yet.
Son, you need to beat that game.
Working on it. That's one of my 2020 resolutions is getting that defeated.
Besides that, you're gonna, join us in Final Fantasy and we will run raids.
Yes.
People in our company are already talking about it.
I mean, if that's cool with you in the team, I'm not sure if they want a scrub like me in there, you know.
Oh yeah, no, Mister. Oh well, I used to, raid back in Wrath and Kata,
Because that's exactly what I say every time. Like, midday, you remember Wrath? Remember that? When we got the Ice Crown Citadel? We killed the Lich King? Yeah, it was so cool, right?
I mean, there are distinguished stories that Seth has mentioned where you guys took him through Icecraft.
That's a strong memory. I just you had to be there for that one. Just specifically with him. Because this is way after Ice Crown Citadel had already been beaten. But
Oh,
no.
dude.
Oh, go ahead.
I still, one of my favorite things to do when I did have a WoW subscription was get on my warrior and solo all of Icecrown as a tank.
We have to talk after the show about how that's possible. Because I
Are
don't.
you thinking about the airship battles?
Yeah, I am. And so just some of the boss mechanic, like you. Yeah, okay.
Literally, I literally when he goes apocalypse and tries to kill everybody on there, I had so much armor and health I couldn't die, so it just kind of glitched it for a minute until he finished. I was just sitting there standing, walking around like, "Hey, what's up?"
Love all these crazy little hacks in these games. But no, Valhalla, a lot of cool stuff. I mean, it's in the Viking area, which I think had basically been a foregone conclusion at this point. Some of the new mechanics and stuff that people have talked about with the housing, the dual wielding axes is going to be pretty cool. That'll be really awesome. I think one of the things I saw too is that the boats. I don't know how you felt about the boats in the last two games, but the boats aren't going to be like, or mainly going to be used for raiding land. They're not going to be used a lot for like naval battles.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, I like the naval battle stuff, but I can always go back and play Black Flag for that.
True. Good point. Good
And
point.
aren't they making Skull and Bones, which is essentially Black Flag ship combat, but just the ship stuff?
Yes. Well, I'm curious if we're going to hear that about that game this year because they've been very quiet with that game for the last like year or so.
You know what? Put it in the oven. Just wait until it's ready. It's fine.
Oh
We
yeah.
got time. Look at all the other stuff they're making. We got time.
They got. I mean, what does Ubisoft have cooking? This, Gods and Monsters, Watch Dogs Legion, a Far Cry game at some point. And there's one more unannounced game that hasn't been talked about yet. I mean, yeah, they're fine.
Yeah,
Totally.
plus there's probably going to be a sequel to Steep, and then they have their motorsport game.
I know what it is. I just can't think of the name. I know what you're talking about.
Hang on, I'm pulling up Uplay so I can look it up because I don't play their motorsport game. I just know that there's motorcycles and other things and cars.
I don't play it. I just know it's there. It exists. It's a thing.
It's like, yeah, that's cool. I'm gonna play Forza Horizons. That's my motorsport game.
No, this was I feel like this was the biggest news, and like I said, I feel like this announcement kind of started rolling the get hyped for games this year and get hyped for next gen train.
It's The Crew, by the way.
The Crew. Okay, I thought that was a driving game.
Yeah.
Oh no, they do motorsports and stuff too. Yeah, they do motorsports.
Yeah. Oh, heads up. Apparently, Child of Light, Rayman something, and Assassin's Creed 2 are free on their Uplay app right now.
Yes, I think, I don't know for how long, but I've heard they're free. I'm pretty sure I
I
have
mean,
those games.
I'm not gonna say no to gimme.
I mean, yeah, free is free. Please, people,
Yeah.
if you don't have it, take advantage of that deal. But no, I'm excited. I'm really interested to see what this game is about. As we've talked about, Will Odyssey, Rocket Punches, Game of the Year 2018. Yeah, 2018, I'm writing that. Origins has been great. I mean, they've really done a great job, and at least for me, I've liked them leaning more into the action RPG style of gameplay, and I think that's helped them sell more copies of their games as opposed to the older, like, stealth-based weird stuff they've been doing.
Well, it depends. It
Okay.
has not done well for the Ghost Recon stuff.
Ooh, that's
A lot
true.
of people who play the Ghost Recon games do not like the RPG stuff being put in. So.
Yeah, and I can see that. I think somebody on there was like, "Oh, it's working for Assassin's Creed. Let's put it in everything else." And people got a little too crazy with that.
It's like, look, 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 look. Tom Clancy, they just want guns. They shoot, they die. That's what they want.
I like that. Such simple thoughts. You shoot the gun, we're done.
Duh. Yeah, I mean, that's how it's supposed to work, right?
You're right. I mean, unless it's the Division, and you got to break the armor first, and then you can kill him. But you know, hey, that's cool.
And it's better than just being a bullet sponge like Dominus Gall.
Oh man, I feel like I played that boss fight recently, and I was just like. That boss fight was not as like hyped as it should have been after that build up in that main story. Like, the boss fight should have been much more creative than that.
Yeah, Destiny. It was nice knowing you, Bungie.
And
Maybe I'll try again on Destiny 3.
Destiny, as I feel like, as we've learned over the last couple of years, it has its ebbs and its flows, and right now it's an ebb. It's a very strong ebb
Yeah, we can go
mode.
with that.
So you're listening, maybe you've gone and read all the coverage now as you've heard us talk, and you're like, man, that Assassin's Creed Valhalla sounds real great. I want to know when I can see it again. It's very funny that all of these four new stories are linked somehow in these weird ways. Story number two is probably when you might be able to get a chance to see Valhalla again. The Summer Game Fest has been announced. This one caught me by
Yep.
surprise. I'm
It's special.
going to read, I've got two links here in the show notes here. The one I'm going to read is from Jeff Keighley's Twitter, from the notes thing that he wrote for this. So I'm going to read from that. And then we'll have the news article put in there from GameIndustry.biz and Rebecca Valentine. We'll have it in the chat for you guys to check out later. Reading this in full. Since I was a kid, one of my favorite parts of the summer has been seeing all the video game companies band together to hype us about the future of this incredible medium. This year has been a challenge for all of us. For a while, I thought 2020 might be the first time in 25 years we didn't have a big magic industry-wide moment. It really bummed me out to see everything fracture. More than ever, this is a year we need a positive, uplifting center of gravity to bring this global community together. So that's what we're going to build. Today, I'm proud to announce Summer Game Fest, a four-month-long season of news events from all of your favorite platforms and publishers. It's all the news you've been waiting for, but also in-game events, playable content and demos of select titles, and a bunch of fun surprises. Summer Game Fest isn't a singular show, but a whole season of four events. The schedule hub at summergamefest.com will guide you through the next 4 months to make sure you don't miss a thing. And trust me, there are some amazing events coming, and I'm working on some plans for a developer showcase with my friends at IM8Bit and, of course, Gamescom, ONL, on August 24th as a big season finale. Thanks to all the game companies and developers who are working hard under challenging circumstances to keep us entertained, I hope Summer Game Fest is a way to show these artists just how much their work helps us through uncertain and scary times. Keep playing the future. Gaming is about to get really bright this summer. Jeff. Yeah, I was a little... I was just like, whoa, okay. You know what? It summed it up best. If you go look at the tweet, the first comment immediately under it is the Thanos gif where he grabs the Infinity Gauntlet and puts it on and says, I'll do it myself. That's...
yeah, that's from Nibble or Nibellion.
Yes.
My God. Oh, no, if you look, one of the replies is literally they Photoshopped Jeff's face onto Thanos, and it's just, fine, I'll do it myself. Oh, hang on.
I love it. I love it. I need to...
I'm putting the link in Twitch chat, because that comment is glorious. It's just like, it's literally like the just straight-faced Jeff Keighley, like, oh, yes, I'll do this myself.
Oh, that's great.
I'm saving that image right now.
But no, like, Will, what do you think about
Jeff
this
notes.
Event?
No, I'm down. I love it. I love that someone who has some serious credibility in the game industry is stepping up and trying to push them in a direction that most gamers will love. Other than, you know, people like Phil Spencer and a couple other of the big prominent leaders, like, because Reggie's kind of stepped into the background and he's there in spirit, but he's not leading anything. E3 is all but dead this year, so we don't have anything to hype going into the summer. Yeah. It's cool. I can't wait to see what's done. I think Gamescom is going to end up becoming more important than E3 in the future. Just personal opinion.
And not only that, but a lot of people's opinions, because this, with this announcement of the Summer Game Fest, they're doing a lot of stuff, you know, 4 months of just the news and announcements. They have different developers announcing stuff each month. They've already talked and said that they're the little demo, like, game trial thing that they did for the Game Awards with Steam last year. They're doing a similar thing this summer, and they've also confirmed that Xbox is getting involved in it as well. And so, sweet. Like you're from a console and PC standpoint, you're going to have a chance to maybe play some games that get announced, that some early access to those games, a whole bunch of slew of other stuff. And we know Jeff Keighley's focus on production value. Like, and it's funny we bring up E3, because, like, could this, I ask the question to everyone, like, could this kill E3 for good, like, permanently? Like, if this goes off without a hitch, could we come back in 2021 and developers are like, you know what, I liked the online interaction and more relaxed nature of the Summer Game Fest, I'm going that route instead of E3.
I think what needs to happen is E3 needs to be made a, with everything going on, let this take the consumer front. E3 needs to go back to being behind closed doors, industry only event where deals and things can be done.
Okay.
And then have the Summer Games Fest be the big consumer focus push where they announce and do all this other stuff. Funny enough, these guys, the E3 was being pushed in a direction so badly that Jeff Keighley stepped away. And it was like, what, the first time in 25 years that he's like, look, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And E3 being canceled, this is his response to that. I'm like, he's literally having a Thanos moment right now.
I feel like I feel like this is what he wanted. Like, I feel like Summer Game Fest is going to be the thing that he was trying to, like, tell the ESA, like, look, this is the route we need to go. And they were like, get out of here, Jeff, you're crazy. And then the door opened up, and he's like you said, Will, I'll do it myself.
I don't know any other way, man. Now that I've seen the Thanos thing there, I can't unsee him being Thanos in this instance.
Rurutu in chat says, all those different packs in QuakeCon has been killing E3 in the past 5 years. I mean, there are a lot of gaming conventions, and PAX has been a very prominent gaming one, especially PAX East and PAX West.
Yeah, but I don't think they would kill E3. I think they would, as a collective, you know, rising tide lifts all ships. I think what's killing E3 is their decisions.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think QuakeCon and PAX and everything else will murder E3. It's just more opportunities for indies to get out there. Indies always kind of got bottlenecked at E3. So things where you would have, yeah, you may have a couple high-profile things, but what do you see more of? Like at DreamHack last year, we didn't see hardly any high-profile stuff except for like the Halo tournaments and that kind of stuff. What we saw was things like Hindsight 2020 and these other little indie games that were there. And we actually got a chance to sit down and play some of them. And things like that are, I think, more invaluable for the indie scene than the big AAAs.
Because
the AAAs can just soak up the airwaves and say, hey, you need to just buy this. You need to buy this. Check this out. That's what they would do.
AAA's always going to take up the airwaves. Like, dude, last week, all you had to do was say, Assassin's Creed trailer. You know, and any other indie games that would have even tried to announce in that space, the air would have been sucked out. And you're right. Like, E3, indie games... You're happy if you get put into the 1 minute highlight reel for indie games during each studio's like little
press. The sizzle reel.
Yeah, the sizzle reel. There you go. But no, and I think that in knowing Jeff too, I think this is also a chance where he's going to leverage a lot of those indie developers too for the Summer Game Fest, because you know for. There's no way that they have that many announcements for
Xbox, PlayStation, and all this other stuff.
For 4 months, yeah.
No. One of my favorite things is on our next topic here, or next news item, it's the whole Xbox thing. And one of the first response to the Xbox tweet was Devolver Digital. And they're just like hyped, blah, blah, blah. And one of the big responses to them was Microsoft saying, we can't wait, kind of deal. Same.
Yeah. And
it's just like, you know, and they're more of a high-profile, like, indie publisher. But how about the mom-and-pop indies? You know, that's where those packs and all that help.
Yeah. And I'll read here, Summer Game Fest does have a Twitter account. If you want to follow this, at Summer Game Fest on Twitter, you can follow it and see all their tweets. They've already put up phase one. I mean, reading some of the phase one, I'm assuming is like the first month in their lineup for May to June. But just listen, here are the studios lined up to talk about stuff in May. 2K, Activision, Bandai Namco, Bethesda, Blizzard, Bungie, CD Projekt Red, Digital Extremes, EA, PlayStation, Private Division, Riot Games, Square Enix, Steam, WB, Xbox. That's a lot. Cool. That's stacked.
Oh, well, if it isn't Mr. Turner. Welcome.
Every time I hear that, I think of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mr. Anderson.
That too. It's like a blend.
Yeah.
But like Summer, do you, honest opinion, do you think that Summer Game Fest, when we get to September, do you think it will be the big thing that kind of overshadows E3, or do you think it will just be another kind of cool event that was great because of the circumstances of COVID-19 and everything this year, but next year it probably won't be as big or may not even come back?
My bet is this is what replaces E3.
Okay.
Yeah. No, at this point, I think Jeff Keighley has more clout and pull in the game industry than the ESA at some points. It's sad to say, but I think between the game awards and everything else and the people that come in behind him and push him, like, you know, I mean, you had what, Phil Spencer, Reggie, and what was it, Sean Layden, all on stage at one point together?
Yep. Memorable moment. Memorable
moment. Yeah. It's like, if you're going to have the heads of the three big console manufacturers showing up together on your stage, that adds some credence to what's going on.
You're right. Well, we'll definitely see. It has begun. And you know what? We will definitely see. Will, you've helped us segue into number three, because this number three news item is part of Summer Game Fest. Xbox Series X event is happening this week. This is coming directly from Xbox's Twitter account here. You want to see games for the Xbox Series X? We want to show you games for the Xbox Series X. Check out first look next gen gameplay from our global developer partners within Inside Xbox on Thursday, May 7th at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Will, how does this make you feel?
I am 100% in. Like,
no good.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I hope, since we're not going to have E3, I would hope to see some Halo Infinite gameplay.
Okay, now that is one caveat, as I've heard and been tuned in a little bit on this. They have specified that this first look is for third-party games only. So this is from their third-party developers. Assassin's Creed is tied in with them. Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so the one in June then would probably have that, because they have another one coming up in a month later, right?
Yeah, they said that they said that any Xbox Game Studio announcements are being saved and prepped for later in the summer, which it's got to be June, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, if you wait too much longer, then you're going to start stepping on the toes of your, you know, actual product launch. And that needs to be just a hype tsunami if you're going to get past all the challenges from COVID-19 and everything else.
But this is the first time we'll get to see Assassin's Creed Valhalla gameplay. They've already confirmed that's going to be there this Thursday. This is the first time we're actually going to see next-gen gameplay, period, from anyone.
I mean, but you see it every time you turn on your PC.
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, look, we both know your CPU and GPU beat whatever's in the next-gen consoles. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, you're right.
We're both in the same situation there. So, I mean, like, oh, man, cool. So we'll see 4K 60 frames HDR over here instead of here.
But I only get 2K because of my monitor.
What, you don't have, like, a nice, you know, HDMI cable strung to your TV?
That's too far. I don't feel like dealing with that and moving my computer over.
Oh, man. Ruru, I honestly, Ruru is bringing up the 3080 Ti. I do want to see what's coming, but I need to see what AMD's got, too. Because I've been following the hardware leaks on both sides, and they're both looking like monsters.
But No, this is the first time we're really going to see gameplay from these next-gen consoles. Third parties are going to be there. What are some of the companies you think are going to show up to this event?
I think we'll see something from Bandai Namco, because they always have the Weeb stuff going on, and Microsoft's been trying to get that Weeb, you know, thing in there. Kakarot was announced on their stage.
Good point.
We'll see something for the anime gamer. I know both of us and your boy Darth Turner all fall into that. So, you know, I'm sure we'll be happy to see something. Beyond that, I'm sure we'll see something that involves, you know, 4K, 60 frames HDR, FreeSync. Oh, that's right. There was that leak where WB Games was working on a Harry Potter game.
Okay, let's talk about this. Darth Turner in chat says, give me Batman and Harry Potter. Do you think WB Montreal shows up to this event?
I think they'd be fools not to, considering that their Twitter stuff was essentially hinting at a Batman game, and then we got nothing.
I know, those freaking teases, it was like months ago, and then they're like, oh, here are some cryptic messages, okay, bye.
Yeah, I think this is when they reveal that.
Okay. CD Projekt Red Do you think we get updated Cyberpunk gameplay?
Yeah, we should, considering the Keanu stunt they pulled. They need to have an update somewhere.
I mean, and we do. They do have a partnership with CD Projekt Red for this, though.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft at this point is too tightly involved with CD Projekt Red as far as getting this on consoles.
Now, here's a question. This is I'm getting in the weeds here, but picking people's brains. So, CD Projekt Red has already said that the next gen upgrade Series X version of Cyberpunk 2077 will be coming at a later date. It will be free. It comes at a later date. Do you think they're ready to show Series X gameplay? Or are they just going to show like a trailer and just remind people that, hey, Cyberpunk's coming to Xbox and then it's going to be available for Series X? Because we don't have a date on when that Series X upgrade is coming.
So here's my bet. And my bet is they have a dev kit of the Xbox already. They have to have. Honestly, at this point, they would just probably have whatever's running on the dev kit and they'd just cap that and ship it.
Rutu in chat says CD Projekt Red will have the entire cast of The Matrix in the next Cyberpunk trailer.
Hey, we are getting a fourth Matrix, so why not?
Johnny Silverhand turns the corner and it's Morpheus turns around. Oh god, I would love that. I would love it. I'm trying to... Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was gonna say I think we'll see something from Square Enix that's not been announced yet.
You think Square Enix will show up here? Really?
Yeah, I think we'll get a Square Enix announcement. Either you're showing like what Final Fantasy VII Remake could look like on the Series X, because you know that they won't do DLC announcement here because they have a 1 year commitment to Sony. But they after that, yeah. You know, we go from there. Halo Atlantis, that is only shadows, so that is not real ray tracing. The ray tracing in World of Warcraft Alpha, it is only shadows, that's not real ray tracing, that's path tracing at best.
I definitely think they'll get some developers in here. Ooh, okay, I might excite some people in chat and listening in, but I saw a tweet that made me remember last year's E3. We have not heard a thing about Elden Ring since E3 last year. That was shown at Microsoft stage.
Yeah, we do need to see something about that. But again, we probably won't see that game for another 3 years. As far as actual release.
I won't disagree with you on that one. But still, like, we know nothing other than weird cryptic images of people standing in dust and like somebody put hammering a ring.
Now, you know what would be interesting is instead of the Elden Ring stuff, show us the actual gameplay for what was that game? I'm trying to think.
It was
the dark horror RPG.
Bloodborne.
No.
Dark Souls.
No, not Dark Souls. It was it was like a third or a fourth in a franchise. Hang on.
Yes.
No, not the Tokyo game. This was a. It's got more of like the Cthulhu influence in it. I'm trying to remember the name.
Oh, I know what you're.
No, talking. Not Dying Light. Dying Light's zombies. That's not horror to me.
I know. I think I know what you're talking
about. Yes, Baldur's Gate. That's it.
Baldur's Gate. You think... Is that coming to console? Baldur's Gate 3, I think?
I mean, at this point, why wouldn't you if you're going to have a 12 teraflop console?
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. That'd be cool if they...
I mean, it looks like it's coming to PS4.
That'd be crazy if they pulled it out.
Why not get it on Xbox?
Even Video says I won't buy it on console.
I mean, you don't have to, but, you know, there is still that thing where it's like, hey, you know, for the people who do want to play it, let them get it.
Amen to that. I just it, it, I'm trying to think. Are there any other developers that we really haven't heard from that could show up to this thing? I can't think of any third party ones. Ooh, here's one. Because it's new generation. Could Xbox have gotten the Activision license for Call of Duty back? Could they show Call of Duty here at the Xbox event?
I wouldn't be surprised if Phil Spencer got permission from Satya to cut a big check for that.
Because they had him in the 360 time frame.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if they didn't at this point, they would be kind of foolish. It's a cheap check to cut to get, first-party advertising rights and 30-day exclusivity.
Darth Turner in chat says, I don't think so, since they just did the MW2 campaign deal with Sony.
I mean, yeah, but it's already on the Xbox, so that's not that big of a deal there. But also, it's still on the current gen. Just use the new gen as a new agreement. Yeah, it's an easy start-off point.
It would depend on how many years that contract was set for.
It may not be years. It may be console generations. We don't know.
Yeah. Because it switched as soon as the current generation came into effect, like PS4 and Xbox. It was
switched over. 8-foot unusable backpack. Delivered DLC for Death Stranding. Oh my god, please no.
Rude2 in chat says, Jeff Keighley will have Norman Reedus with 8-foot unstable backpack deliver a DLC for Death Stranding. That'll be hilarious.
I would like to see a commitment from third parties on the stage to crossplay.
For crossplay?
Besides Activision. Yeah.
That would be like, nice to see. I'd agree.
Like crossplay, cross save, like that needs to be like some kind of commitment. So that way, especially for Xbox and PC games, I think that needs to be a big push on the Xbox stage. Like, hey, if you have a gaming PC and you have an Xbox, you got the game on both, take your character back and forth. Like, that needs to be one of those things where you just do it through the Xbox app on your PC or something like that. Dark Turner, I would agree with you on Rainbow Six, because that seems like a gimme for Ubisoft, and it's a goodwill gesture for them.
And I think they've already talked and said that the Rainbow Six team is wanting to make sure that players who go to the next generation will still be able to play with their friends back then. So,
Just that, I think they Ubisoft, if they're there, they also need to do something with... I'm having one heck of a brain fart tonight.
it is totally okay.
Yeah. They need to, with the other Tom Clancy game that we've been playing, The Division. There we go. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and read this. Bring WoW to Xbox only. Halo Atlantis? No. I can go ahead and say this. I don't want World of Warcraft on the Xbox. I don't want World of Warcraft anywhere.
It's not going to happen.
No. Nah.
For a lot of different reasons. Reasons that we do not have the time to go into on the show.
Well, not just that, but, with everything else going on, like, that game... Leave it on the PC. Let it do its thing there.
Rutu asked, "What's that game where when they let people control a grandma assassin?" That is Watch Dogs Legion. Valhalla's going to be there. Do you think they maybe have created another deal, and we might see Watch Dogs Legion and some other Ubisoft games on stage?
It's possible. I mean, did they demo Legion on an Xbox stage? I think they did.
I think they did on... No, Ubisoft had their own conference.
Oh, okay.
They didn't put it on anybody's stage.
Now, what we do need on Xbox, Darth Turner, is something called Final Fantasy XIV. It's on PlayStation. It's on PC. It's already got crossplay there. Come on, bring it over to the Xbox. It's already got full controller support.
Darth Turner in chat says, who needs WoW when we have the ultimate WoW killer, Phantasy Star Online 2? That game got released, if I'm not mistaken. It's like out of beta.
Yeah, and I promptly resubbed to Final Fantasy XIV.
We're real excited about it. We're going to talk about that later, Will.
Oh, no, yeah, we will, but I'm just saying.
But no, guys, we'll definitely find out what third parties are going to be there. And if you're really excited about next gen like we are, want to see the new gameplay, again, this Thursday, May 7th at 8 a.m. Pacific time. So that is 10 a.m. Central time for people who don't want to do that. If you're in any other time zone, you have to figure that out yourself. I'm sorry.
11 Eastern.
Oh, man, you see, you have, don't give them. Don't give them the food. You got to teach them how to fish. Don't give them the fish.
I mean, it's plus 1 hour. What do you want me to do? I think Mountain Time is minus an hour.
Everybody forget. Mountain Time is like the unsung time zone. Nobody cares about Mountain Time. It's just like, whatever.
Hey, people in Colorado care about Mountain Time.
They do. You're right. And Colorado's awesome. So definitely get excited if you want to see that footage there. And it may help you. I'm hoping that announcement will help stem the blow from this next news story, because it hurts a little bit. There will be no Nintendo Direct this summer. This is coming from Jeff Grubb over at VentureBeat. Read a little bit here. Nintendo is telling partner developers it is not going to hold one of its Nintendo Direct video events in June. The publisher has had a June Direct to correspond with E3 every year since 2013, and before that, it held annual stage presentations. But complications brought about from Japan's work-from-home order as part of its attempts to mitigate COVID-19 are forcing Nintendo to push back its schedule. Nintendo was putting together a June event, the company was lining up partners, and was planning to unveil its first-party schedule for the rest of 2020. That includes highlighting the Mario's franchise's 35th anniversary, which it's going to celebrate with the release of some classic 3D Mario games on Switch, according to various reports. But now the company is far less certain if it holds another Direct, it may not come until the very end of summer. Period.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised by this. It takes a lot of time to get all the contracts, paperwork, and all that other stuff done. It's a shame, but yeah, I mean, you know, we may just get it at the end of August.
Yeah, and I think the last Nintendo Direct was in March?
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say something like a couple of nice tweets and a, you know, little PR announcement here and there, but I love seeing the sizzle reels that Nintendo does, so it's kind of a shame.
Yeah, and it just, so I really want to know, the thing that sucks for me is I want to know if this whole Mario rumor is true. Where they're remastering like Sunshine and Super Mario Galaxy and all these other games, and it's going to bring it on the Switch. Like, if that's true, oh, yes. Get hyped.
You know, I think Sunshine is one of those underappreciated games.
It is. 100% is, you know. I don't know why people give that game so much crap. I enjoyed the hell out of Sunshine. The hell out of it.
Yeah. But, oh, well.
It's a little sad. Aruru 2, aren't they doing a new Paper Mario? That is another rumor that has popped up as well. And that is a series I have not touched. I think you've played, Will.
Paper Mario? No.
Yeah, you haven't played it. I've never had a chance to play that, so. But no, that's, you know, quick little story there. So if you were wanting to see the next Nintendo Direct next month, you're going to have to wait just a few more months longer. Hopefully some of the other announcements in the Summer Game Fest and the Xbox stuff will keep you sated until the end of the summer. Before we wrap up news here, we got some required reading that my co-host Will has graciously put in the notes. You want to go over them, man?
Yeah, we can. The first one is titled The Uncertain, Unflinching Future of Games Media. And it's talking about Jason Schreier's departure from Kotaku. It's over in GameIndustry.biz. It's something you really should give a take at and actually read through. He's probably one of the last true games journalists in this media.
Yes. I hope Jason does really well over at Bloomberg. Is it Bloomberg that he's going to?
I believe so, yes. But he, funny enough, speak of the devil, because the next thing is in the New York Times by Jason Schreier. And it's gaming sales are up, but production is down. And it's talking about the impact that coronavirus, COVID-19, is going to have on the industry. So you should give that a read as well.
That's going to be a big one. Well, we've talked about, I mean, forever, about like how this is going to affect games.
Mm-hmm.
After said and done.
No, absolutely. So people should definitely take a look, go through, see, and then go from there. But they're both very much worth a read.
Well, that's it, guys. That's it for news here, for episode 11 here. We're going to jump over to Table Talk. But first, before we go over to Table Talk, we're going to take a quick break. So if you want to hear us talk probably for a large chunk of time about Final Fantasy XIV and our experiences in that game for the last couple of weeks, we've also got some chatter about Gears Tactics, which is a new game that's come out recently that I haven't had a chance to talk about, as well as Guilt, which is a game you may not have heard of unless you played on Stadia. If you want to hear more about our thoughts on that, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right after this break. As soon as I find the button, it's going to take me a second. There we go. We'll be all right. There we go. Well, let's jam indeed. Hey, we're back from the quick break here. Now we're into part two of our show, which is Table Talk. If for people who don't know, Table Talk is where we just sit and we talk about games. We talk about how our gaming weeks experiences have gone and some of the games we've played and experienced and how much fun or not fun we've been having with those games. There's going to be a lot of Final Fantasy 14 talk in this Table Talk. I'm going to go ahead and set everybody up for that now. Will, if you don't mind, before we get to that, because I feel like this is going to dominate a fair amount of the conversation, there are two games.
Let's save it for the end, and we can talk about the other games.
Yeah, there are two games that I know that I played that I at least wanted to briefly mention. One is Gears Tactics. Do you remember this game?
I just downloaded it.
This is the basically XCOM style Gears game that came out last Tuesday as of this recording. Have you had a chance to play it?
Not yet. I literally downloaded it this morning.
I've played the first mission, I say mission, the first act, I guess. It's like Act One, Chapter One. I've played the
Okay.
first chapter in there. I will definitely say the game looks gorgeous, looks beautiful, looks exactly how a Gears game would look like. If you took away any of the gameplay, cutscenes look exactly like a Gears game. Like
Okay, good.
bar none. If I showed that somebody like, oh, this is a new Gears game, but once you get into the battles, it is. I mean, it's XCOM. It's a tactical strategy game. It was a couple of fights that I fought in with right from the start, but it was very interesting how it's basically XCOM and they've made sure to inject, took like a big syringe and inject the Gears formula into it. So they do
Okay.
this thing. Some enemies won't die instantly, they'll be downed. And if they're downed, you can run up and do a like execution on them. And if you succeed in the execution, then all the other team members in your squad get an additional attack, or I guess like action. Thank you. I think that's what I'm thinking of. An additional action in their turn, because each of your members, you get three actions per turn that allowed you to you can move and then shoot and then shoot again. And that's your turn for that character,
Okay.
and each of your characters can do that. The chainsaws are back. There is actually a special move where you can do the chainsaw glory kill, and the camera zooms in and be like, bursting the blood little giblets, and that has a 3-turn cooldown. So once you use it once, you have to wait 3 turns for that character before you can use it again.
Okay, so you got to use it wisely.
But it is an instant kill. No matter how much health that person has, they're done. It's over.
Well, I mean, if you took a person and took a chainsaw to them, that is an instant kill.
Mean, they could survive it somehow. I don't know.
Yes. Luckily.
There's some crazy stuff that goes on in video games. But no, it plays like a XCOM game. They had this Overwatch mode where you can use one of your actions to mount as Overwatch, and you make this cone in front of you. And then if any enemies walk within that cone, depending on how many remaining actions you had, you'll attack them, which was really good. I can't remember the names, but the really smaller critters, the melee-like critters, that was really good against them because you could post up and when they start sprinting in, if you have like a choke, the wretches, thank you, Darth Turner got me, then you just take a couple of them out because they hit very hard from a melee standpoint and you do not want to get up and close and personal with these guys. You'll get messed up.
Cool. Makes sense.
What other stuff? They have the emer. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know it takes place before year one.
Yes, it is 12 years before Gears 1. That's all I know right now. You are Gabriel Biaz, and the story kind of starts off as like you are in this bunker hiding out, and this one guy, if you've seen the images online, like his name is Sid. He's the old. Like, you know he's seen some shit. Like, we've got the metal eye patch and the white Wilford Brimley mustache. And he's like, come on, the people want you. You gotta come over here and do this mission. And it kind of leads him into this story. To kind of help out the cog. And
The Wilford Brimley mustache.
look up Sid for Gears Tactics online. You tell me that doesn't look like Wilford Brimley with no hair on his head. But I got a chance to like look at the customization. So like there are different gearboxes you can pick up on maps throughout the game. As you're walking through a map, you'll see a weapons cache. You can grab those, and at the end of the mission, you can open them up, get weapons, abilities, whatever. Each character, I mean, this is just like XCOM. Each character has their own skill trees, give them special abilities and techniques to help you out in battle. Each of those people have their own sets of gear, which you can customize down to like the texture and color of the gear. It's wild. Like for all the gear, all the guns and weapons, everything. Like your units are fully customizable. It was really cool and really nice to see. And it was like I've liked XCOM. I just have never had a chance to beat XCOM or play through it. I know that there was just a new XCOM that came out recently, Chimera Squad, that's either out or came out recently.
Okay.
Dinaro in chat says the same thing. Sid looks like he has seen some stuff. He's seen some shit, man. I'm telling you.
Okay.
But no, Gears Tactics is really fun. I think if you're an XCOM fan, if you like the turn-based tactical RPG games, I think this is a really fun game. Like I said, I've only been through the first chapter, but I'm itching to jump back. That may be a problem thanks to some people who thinks it's real funny to pull your friends into an online MMO RPG. But you know, hey, whatever, no big deal.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm just rambling.
Yeah.
I do
I have
that
literally no clue what you're talking about. I'm just trying to be a dark knight over here. Don't mind me.
But it, no, Gears Tactics is really cool. I definitely want to, I want to review it. I got to play more of it, though. So, definitely keep you up to date. Fun fact, and I talked to you about this the other day, Will. This game is only available on PC right now. You can buy it from Steam, or you can get it on Game Pass for PC. It is coming to
Cool.
Xbox later this year. Not going to be
Okay.
surprised if this is a
A Series
Series
X launch
S.
title.
Not going to be surprised about that.
That
And
wouldn't be.
which, honestly, if you think about that, that's kind of brilliant. Because you have basically Microsoft coming out saying we have the pillars of the Xbox first party staple right now: Halo, Gears, Forza, sure. Like, they are all represented at launch.
True. Especially, man, I really want to see what those other studios are working on. But, it's fine. We've already seen what the guys are working on for some things. I want to see what the co not the coalition. Is it Coalition? The
Private
quadruple
Division.
A studio they made?
Private Division.
Or, no.
The Initiative, I'm
No.
sorry.
Yeah, the Initiative. There we go. Coalition's behind Gears, aren't they?
Yes, the Coalition of the Gears team.
God, these names are a little
You
ridiculous.
gotta learn them. You gotta learn them. But no, Gears Tactic is fun if you have a PC. If you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, definitely go download the game. If you like tactical RPGs, it is thumbs up. I'm liking it so far. I'll keep you guys updated on how it keeps going.
Cool.
The other game I wanted to talk about really quick is Guilt. And this will be even briefer than the Gears Tactics talk. Guilt is interesting because it is an exclusive game on Google Stadia. Yes, I pulled out my controller once again and I jumped on the Stadia bandwagon, or just jumped in the Stadia. Wanted to continue to try it out. I will definitely say it was a lot better this time when it was a game that was not as Twitch heavy as Destiny 2. Guilt is like, I think the story is that you are this girl and you're kind of looking for your cousin who disappeared mysteriously, and then you end up, some events happen, and you end up in like this, I think it's alternate dimension or world, trying to find your way out and to find out what happened to your cousin. I started playing a little bit of it, but the first kind of part of it I played through, and I was surprised. You know, again, telling people my setup. I'm playing on my desktop, got a hardwired connection to Google Fiber Internet, but playing on a wireless Bluetooth controller, Xbox controller. I was pretty impressed with how response, like, there was no lag. I was moving around just like if this controller were plugged in, and I could jump around, and the game played. I mean, it looked 1080p, streamed how you would expect it to look. I think, because I think they throttled down 4K or system effect like that. But the game looked good. It looked interesting. It was awesome. I picked this specific game because this is honestly, from the Stadia lineup, this was one game that I wanted to play, that I was really interested in, and I was like, ooh, okay, it's not available anywhere else, so I've got to play it on Stadia. So I've been playing it. I'm definitely going to jump kind of in between these other games that I'm playing. I'll jump into it and I want to play it more. But I can see if it's the Twitch. I think that, at least for me, my impressions right now, Twitch heavy stuff like Destiny 2 and some other shooters, there it might be a coin flip on how that works. But with Guild, I was like, okay, I can see this working. Like, okay, I can see how this is. When it's not something that's like D-d-d-d-d-d-d, first person shooter, I got SteamWorld Dig. That's part of the Stadia Pro thing, so I might try that out too. But it was cool. I had a good time. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I pause and, you know, lay it down to go somewhere else. I mean, I have an iPhone, so I can't play on my phone, and I don't have a Chromecast in the house, so I can't do it anywhere else. But from a computer, like, it was nice that literally I went to just opened up a Google browser, went to Stadia.com, and it's Guilt popped up, and I said, play. It took like 5 seconds and said, whoop, there you go.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. So I will keep you all updated on my Google Stadia experience, especially with Guilt. But I think this was a better showing of the technology than a twitchy first-person shooter, by far.
Interesting. Heads up, somebody just made me aware of something that got announced. HBO Max.
HBO Max has
It's
been a thing.
Yeah, it's like $12 a month, but it's got all like apparently it's got like Totoro and the other stuff there, but it's all the Warner Brothers stuff. So you know who Warner Brothers owns, right?
Cartoon
They own
Network.
not just that. They own Crunchyroll and Rooster Teeth and those properties as well.
Really? That I
There's
did not know.
Yeah, so there's some rumors right now that they're going to merge that with Verve. We'll see. But yeah, right now the HBO Max thing is going to be its own standalone thing. No TV subscription required, $12 a month. I don't know. If they incorporate like Crunchyroll and Verve, I'm in.
awesome.
Sorry, somebody just messaged me about that. I'm like, oh, interesting. Yeah, it's got Spirited Away, Totoro, that kind of stuff. I'm like, Wait, my question is, Disney has the distribution rights for all of the Ghibli stuff. So how do these guys have the rights for streaming?
What's funny is that all the Ghibli movies, you can stream on Netflix outside of the U.S., but you cannot stream it in the U.S. and I think one other country, which is
it's possible. Shame. Oh, well, shame. That's called a VPN, sir.
Good point.
Made aware of that.
No, thank you for that, because I didn't know about that. Those little extra, because that might actually be worth another service I could sign up for. Halo Atlantis in chat, using Read Your Text, redeeming that rocket fuel, saying, I hope we get a new Tomb Raider and a Deus Ex 3. I don't know if we're going to get a new Tomb Raider.
Hang on.
Maybe a Deus Ex. That is from Square Enix.
When did Shadow of the Tomb Raider come out? September 2018. So 2021, probably at the earliest.
Yeah, but we've had the trilogy is complete.
Yeah, unless they do a different storyline.
Yeah, unless they do something else, the trilogy's done. So I don't know if and I don't know from a sales perspective how well it did. If it did well enough for them to continue on making more. They're great games.
It's a beautiful game.
Yeah. Okay, those are the two games I wanted to bring up. I'm done. Will, I cede the floor to you.
All right, so everyone, I just have to ask. Who is the most popular MMO of them all?
WildStar. Star Wars.
Actually, yeah, I wouldn't have minded Star Wars had they, you know, kept the graphics engine updated.
Is that still a thing? Do they still?
Yeah, it's free to play. No, Curtis, it's not ESO, at least not paid subs.
Black Desert Online.
No. World of Warcraft. Right now it's Final Fantasy 14. So, you know, go ahead and enjoy that while you can. You know, breathe deep, enjoy the ether.
I'm loving these. Terra, Eve Online, Rune Terra. What's the kids game that everybody plays?
Minecraft.
No, not that one. The other one, RuneScape.
Funny enough, I work with someone who actually plays RuneScape seriously.
Yeah. RuneScape Old School.
Oof, man.
Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, so it's around 20 million paid subs right now.
Jesus.
So there's a lot of people playing. I jump back in. Curtis Among Us has joined us in the free company. Apparently, Cameron has decided to join the free company. You know, I didn't see that one coming. But apparently, you know, we recorded a Patreon bonus episode, and some things I had mentioned, it just pulled you in.
Okay, everybody look. I technically was a part of the free company already. I just renewed my membership.
Dark Turner, we're on Exodus, Primal Exodus.
That is where we're at. Type that in for chat, so anybody watching, and I'll put it in show notes too, so that way if anybody's watching, they can. If you want to come hang out with us.
Yeah, I'm playing with a bunch of old coworkers and some people I don't know, but so far everybody's been pretty chill. You know, we've had. And Curtis Among Us can speak. I have not really run into anybody supremely toxic as far as all that goes. So that's been wonderful.
One of the nice things, it's been really cool, is as I play, like, I'll see other people fighting enemies and they'll drag mobs in and they might get started, like, get beat up. And people are so nice to, like, they'll come and help you out and then they'll, like, give you a little salute and then continue on. It's been really, really nice.
And Curtis Among Us can speak, man. Like, I've been playing it almost every night. And, like, we run a dungeon every time. and not once has it been toxic. Like, there's been some people who were like, oh, okay, cool, we messed this encounter up, you know, we could try to look it up and go there, or, you know, they were like, hey, you gotta do this, and instead of, you know, bashing and complaining, they were helping. It was way wonderful. This is so much better than any MMO experience I've had. I was in the alpha and the beta and Elder Scrolls Online. That has turned into some supreme garbage. And in my opinion, the quests are fun, but when involving other people is when it gets weird. But, you know, okay, man, so, I'm telling you what. All right, so what class are you going to play?
Yeah, that's okay for me. I'm jumping here. I need to understand, are there any healers, like mainline healers in the group?
So I want to go ahead and tell you, there are several people who have every class to 80 in the free company.
Screw them. They're probably not playing the healer.
Actually, Seika Hayashi is one of them who's got most of them to 70 or higher, and he mains healer.
Damn it. All right.
Look, we're not going to say no to more healers, Cam. But you may want to, you know, do other things. You know, we've got DPS covered. We've got people tanking. It's okay. You know, oh no, if you're a healer too, Seika can just level something else. Because here's the thing. Most of the people in the clan, once they hit one at max, they then start leveling everything else.
Yeah. No.
I'm free company is what Final Fantasy calls it. I'm used to clan or guild.
I'm jesting. I know that support characters are few and far between. There are a lot of people that don't do them. And I like, from my experience in World of Warcraft, I played a lot as a... I went DPS, played a lot more as a tank than started bouncing between tank and heals. And I'm hoping in this one, especially, like, playing as a conjurer, the heals have been pretty cool. So right now, my track is to go conjurer to white mage.
Okay. I mean, you go that route. You can always go red mage. So you've got some balance there. Honestly, I'm going between ninja and dark knight. Okay. I have both of those. I'm bouncing back and forth. So I've got a DPS and a tank.
I don't know what my secondary class is going to be. Maybe a paladin.
Here's the beautiful thing. You can play all of them on the same tune. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Excuse me. I've read some of the guides on our server, and it was like one helpful hint was like, don't fall into the trap of like leveling one class up to like 30 or 40 and then switching immediately over to another class and not leveling them up to full. Like, focus on one class first and then get the other ones in time.
Yeah. And Curtis Among Us, he's a black mage, total glass cannon. It's fine 99% of the time. And then the other, like, you know, 1% of the time, it's because, oh man, the boss randomly targeted him, even though I can't, you know, provoke it off of him. Well, somebody better heal him or res him. One of the two.
Technically, that's his own fault, right? Like, is that in the hell?
Not
if
the boss auto targets. No, they have some mechanics where the boss just randomly picks someone and says, screw that area.
Okay, you're right. I remember those times in World of Warcraft. Yeah, those are good times.
Well, you know, hey, Curtis, all I got to say to that one is it's not my fault that when you spawn in, sometimes they just randomly deactivate your taunt. They have a stance for tanks that enables or disables extra aggro.
Oh, boy. Stances. And, good times. Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, you know, it's fun stuff in my opinion. I like it.
I want to ask, like, really been wanting to ask and I want to do on the show, like, you've been playing constantly, like, what in the being serious, like, what got you to jump back into Final Fantasy 14 again? Like, it's been however long it's been. I know you've got Hyro and some of your friends that have been in there, and they have their free company that they help out with. Like, what really motivated you to say, you know what, I'm going to start playing 14 again, and I'm gonna start playing heavy?
Funny enough, it was the music.
The music.
Okay. Yeah. Right now I'm at 129 played hours. I just had to look it up and check in Steam. But yeah. Honestly, more than anything else, it was the music. I was just flipping through Final Fantasy music that I have on my hard drive here, and I was like, man, this is so good. Started listening to it. I'm like, hang on. I think I own an expansion. Let me go back. Resubbed and oh hey, look at this.
Because I know a couple of months we had started playing and then we fell off, and so now we're, you know, back. We're back in here.
Yeah, the fall off was more that every time I logged on, nobody else was on, and now it seems like everybody else is back on. So I'm like, all right, cool. Well, if everyone's here, let's go.
And that was the key. Like, it was one of the keys when I started playing World of Warcraft for the first time. And when I started playing this game for the first time, it's like, there's got to be other people on there. I will definitely say 14, I feel, is much more welcoming to newcomers and to solo people to start. World of Warcraft, I'm old guy here talking about the past. Like it felt very hard. Like as a solo, you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, sure.
If you didn't have somebody like holding your hand or just absolute determination and grit as a solo in WoW, it's not worth playing.
But like Final Fantasy 14, I've played. For full disclosure, I have two characters, and one of my characters is a warrior, and I haven't picked the other class for him, but it might be some weird. But I made a female, a human, and she is went in a new area and just started playing around, and I've enjoyed myself. I have not teamed up with anybody, and leveling has been pretty steady, and I've had a really great time playing around with that.
It's so funny how many of my friends have decided to play females in this game.
Oh, I always have a female. I have one male, one female all the time.
No, I know. Female. I'm rolling around as dude. Like, I don't care. I'm like, yeah, it's close enough. Throw the armor on. Let's go. I got to go stand in front of the big hits.
Okay, so second question I have for you.
Yeah.
Why Death Knight?
Why not Dark Warrior Knight.
Or Dark Knight? Why? I'm sorry. Ooh, man.
Yeah.
Bad Cameron. WoW habits. Why not Warrior Paladin?
Big two-handed sword. I like the idea of the spells and mixture of actual skills. So he's got mana. He pulls on the mana to do certain abilities. I like it. I like the rotation. I like the style. It just goes down to preference because warrior has higher DPS. Paladins have more mitigation. Dark knights are kind of a weird mix. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way I see it. Rude to his point. that's funny. I'm honestly not looking at the back of my character when I play, so I play zoomed out and I play from a top angle, more like Diablo.
No, I just but, it's I've seen I personally have seen like your passion for the game, especially this last couple of weeks. And
you just gotta go into Discord and just see, oh man, what's he playing? Oh crap, that again.
And it's just it's which it, there's nothing wrong with that. Just I'm curious to know. I was curious to know, like, what was the driving force to pull you back in? Because you know, especially for both of us, me more than you. Like, my experience with MMOs is a long and storied one, and I have to be very, very careful. And you know, especially when I was playing World of Warcraft, I had to be very careful. Otherwise, it pulled you back in and like would not let go. But one of the cool things I liked, after playing yesterday, I ended up watching the NoQuip documentary again.
Mm-hmm.
And the director.
Yoshi P?
Yeah. Yoshida-san.
Everyone calls him Yoshi P.
Yoshida Naoki? I'm sure you can pronounce it better than I can. You know what I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about, yes.
It really helped build that, you know, like helped in motivate me. It's like, I need to give this more of a shot. I need to start leveling. Let me check the end game out. Let me play with these guys and see how fun this is. Because it was one of the comments he had said, he was like, you know, and this is like at the end, after they had burned old Final Fantasy XIV to the ground. And they got the new one up there. He made this comment like, you know, we really want to respect people's time, and like, you know, not only for the players that stayed with us, the core base during the dark times, but also like bringing people in. We don't expect people to have these subs come in, and like we don't want people or expect people to play this game constantly 24/7 every day. Like if you you know, a new expansion comes out, you resub, you play through, you have fun, then we expect that you're going to wean off a little bit and say, oh, you know, I want to, you know, he's saying, oh, you know, maybe you want to play another game. Maybe you want to
play Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah, like, maybe you want to go live your life and do other stuff, and you don't sub. Like, that's how we designed the game, and so that way we're hoping that when we release a new expansion or the next update that comes out, you'll be like, oh man, some new cool stuff is there that I haven't played before. Let me resub and play it. And that was really cool.
And so what's interesting, though, is when the next big patch comes out, they're actually going to be streamlining A Realm Reborn and making it easier for new players.
Really?
Yes. So that will be the next big update to the game before the next expansion and all that stuff. It's also, I believe, going to add the end of the Nier Automata crossover raids.
Yes.
Yes, there's Nier Automata crossover raids. So if you need more of an excuse to go do this...
And that's Nier's good. Nier's cool.
Yeah.
That's a game I need to finish too.
Yeah, downside of doing a gaming podcast is you end up building a backlog that's absolutely monolithic. It's like, oh man, I want to go play all these games. It's like, you know, by the time we retire, we'll be able to play them all.
I am proud of myself. I've beaten more games so far this year than I expected to. Doom Eternal, Resident Evil 3 Remake, and Final Fantasy 7 Remake I've beaten. Like, rolled credits. So I'm pretty happy about that so far. I'm hoping to keep the trend going with some other games and catch up and stuff. So.
Very cool.
No, it just...
It's also, it's scratching the MMO itch. I honestly, I'm playing Final Fantasy VII Remake is the other thing that pulled me into this. Is like, oh, okay, cool. Man, I missed me some Final Fantasy because 15 really didn't do it for me. And 13 was a disappointment, in my opinion. So, yeah, I don't care what anybody says. I didn't like 13. I didn't even look at 13 too.
What's wrong with you?
Lightning is not an interesting character to me.
Don't worry about 13. Any of the sequels, don't worry about it. 13, I like 13. I like the music in 13's great. Actually, as I've gotten older, I've actually appreciated the more linear style that it went. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I don't have to worry about side quests. Just follow the path. Awesome. That's great.
That's half the fun of Final Fantasy, man.
I agree. I'm not going to disagree with you on that one either, too. So. But no, I've actually, in that documentary, they talked a lot about like how Final Fantasy XI and 14 are really the two Japanese style MMOs, and there really wasn't one before then. And it, like, the differences between that and the Western MMOs, like World of Warcraft and like some of the skills and tactics they use. I really, as I've played more and more of 14, I've really liked and appreciated the Japanese approach to how they tackle MMOs.
One thing I really like about this game that I've grown to hate in World of Warcraft, I love the Aetherite teleportation stuff. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft's flight points seems archaic and antiquated to me. And so it's just like, oh yeah, I need to go to this city. Click, pay the teleportation fee, I load in, I'm there. There's none of this like, well, you gotta ride on the flight path all the way across the world. It's just like, no, I'm here, let's go.
You pay for the Griffin, and then you go get, you make a pizza.
A sandwich or a beer, or, yeah.
Come back, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm here. And then when you land, you realize, wait, wasn't that a mage sitting over there that has a portal that could have just ported me here?
Yeah, well, in this case, it's just a bunch of stones that use the ether that surrounds the planet that you can just pay the fee to teleport on.
You remember when you had to pay, they did mage ports, and mages were charging people to teleport them to different cities?
Yeah, because they consumed a stone or something to do it back then.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah, no, I very much remember, and
I think
there you go.
The other thing too, Well, Dinaru in chat, what's he saying? He says, the flight path was great for immersion, but it takes up so much time. Yeah, I agree. The one thing I really like about, and I don't know if it's a Japanese style thing, but I appreciate it, is what you always talk about to me, Will, is like the fact that if you want to change your class, just put on a different weapon.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, I'm gonna go change my gear. I don't have to have 10 tunes. I can have one tune, and they can just do everything. Now, the other thing I like is the crafting and the gathering are mini games. So you're not just sitting, you're beating your head against the wall. If I'm making a piece to go into a piece of armor, if I do really well on that mini game, I get a high quality piece. If I get enough of those high quality pieces to go craft into this other piece of armor, it increases my chance of making a high quality piece of armor instead of it just being a random proc. So the better you get at the mini games, the better you get at crafting, which means you have a better chance of getting better gear. Little things like that. It's just like, oh man, this is so nice by comparison. I don't know, after having max level enchanter, blacksmith, tailor, miner, and all kinds of other crap in World of Warcraft on all these different tunes, it's just so nice. Because before it's just run around, click, alright, cool, run around, click. That gets mind-numbing after a while.
Yeah, Dinaru in chat says it makes the crafting fun and less grindy.
100% agree. So,
definitely. I got botanists, and I haven't had a chance to do any of this stuff on botany yet because I've been focusing on getting my level up. So,
I've been doing mining, blacksmithing, and armor.
Okay. We'll see. You got anything else for 14? At least for this week.
I mean, you know, hey. Come play the game. It's fun. You know, worst case scenario, you're out $15 if you already have the expansion.
I bought the expansion the next day. Okay. 40% off.
On Steam?
On Amazon.
Oh, on Amazon. Yeah, I was going to say, if it was on Steam, that's a different thing. Amazon, the Steam, you could have gotten in a chat and they probably would have given you like a discount or something.
Yeah, well, on Steam. That's okay. I think that, you know, you always look for the sale, but the $40 for Shadowbringers, and you got the other expansions with it, it's not a loss at all.
Well, true.
Because you would have, imagine how much money you wouldn't have spent if it was World of Warcraft, or any other MMO for that matter.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I put my time and money into WoW. I'm done. I like the other side of the grass. The grass is definitely greener over here. You got, I got one other thing to mention. I finally got my hands on my Elgato 4K 60S Plus. Brewer 2, I'm already a weeb. I watch anime all the time. It's just weeb gaming, you know.
Like, Rutu, how long have you watched this show and you haven't realized that we're weebs?
I mean, How many times do we need to make Dragon Ball references and other random anime references?
Look, Will has Dragon Ball Dokken Battle on his phone. Like, that alone is...
I still have it on my phone. I'm up to 1,500 days, by the way.
That easily gets him a fast pass into the Weeb Club, okay?
Well, no. Between that, Crunchyroll, Verve, I mean, what do you want? I got Shonen Jump with a paid sub. Here you go.
What else? What do you want from him? What do you want from him?
I'm already paying for Shonen Jump on my phone and the iPad. Like, lol. Join the weebs. I was born into them.
Ruchu says, I watch 8 other podcasts on Twitch. I can't remember everyone's weebness level.
No. You don't need to remember. You just got to have a legal pad. And literally, just on the legal pad, just keep notes of, all right, these guys are weebs. These guys are not. These guys are weebs. These guys are not.
The 4K 60S Plus, that's the big dog.
Yeah.
That's the standalone.
Yes, it's standalone, or you can USB-C it into your machine. Standalone's nice because I can run the Xbox 4K 60 if it supports it, or 4K HDR, 4K 60 HDR, PlayStation if you want that 4K 60 HDR, or just 4K HDR. depending on the game and the developer, of course. I like it. You know, I haven't tried to run the old consoles into it yet, but I do like it quite a bit. It has different software than the regular Elgato GameCap software, though. Really? Yes, Inibito, I'm glad you noticed that. Yes, it's its own 4K software that you have to download.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So as far as all that goes, works pretty well. I've got it plugged in next to the Xbox right now with an SD card stuffed in it, recording some Ace Combat 7. Because that's on Game Pass.
Yes.
Oh, dude, you need to play Ace Combat.
I do. I have not. I keep forgetting it's on Game Pass. I do want to play it.
Yeah. 100%. Man, next gen, Sony will actually get the title of 4K, not 4K. It'll be great. And Xbox will be sitting there with 4K 60.
Next gen's looking great. I'm excited about this week. I'm excited about what these third-party guys are going to show off with the Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
And finally get a chance to see some gameplay. I don't expect the games to look much different. I just expect them to be probably more detailed and more dense and do more things inside of it.
Hey, you know what? 1440p, 144Hz looks pretty damn good. That's all I'm going to say. Rutu, you're not poor if you got that.
You're not. Believe me. Anything else you got, Will?
Yeah. Stay safe, wear a mask in public, wash your hands, and don't be a jerk.
Please don't be a jerk. There's nothing.
That's what I got.
There's nothing cool about that. Well, we'll end on that note, guys. That is it for episode 11 of the Rocket Punch Show. Thank you guys so much for joining us here this evening. As always, we appreciate you guys tuning in here. Remember, if you miss part or all of the if you missed part of the show, you want to catch the full thing, be sure to check out YouTube. We'll have the video of the show up there on Tuesday. And then also check your podcast service of choice. Look up the Rocket Punch Show. You can find us on your podcast service and listen to the whole thing there while you're hanging out in your home or being an essential employee. I don't know what everybody's doing. Guys, remember, if you want to check out more of Rocket Punch's content, head over to rocketpunchgo.com. That is your one-stop shop for all the stuff that we do and make for you. So don't miss out on that. And as well as always, guys, check out all the different ways you can support us, from sharing our stuff on social media to helping support us over on Twitch and Patreon.com/RocketPunch. Every little bit counts and helps us out to become even better for you. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next time.
Laters.